Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We've been gone for a little while with the holidays, but we're back with the January 3rd, 2020, Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and wait a second. Oh, I said the magic word, Friday.
Start spreading the news.
All right, that means Schomburg Stu is here. How are you, Stu?
I'm all right. I want to wish all our many listeners a happy 2020.
All right, let's see if I remember how to do this. If you'd like to call in and talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs have still been going up, so I've been hoping you've been keeping up with stuff over at sportstimeradio.com. They pop up there every Wednesday and Saturday. Even through the holidays, they went up, so I hope you stuck with me over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Sadly, we didn't come up with our goal of getting Stu on Twitter before the new year. Maybe this year it'll happen. But if not, feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time. And as always, I will pass anything you have to say to Stu along, as long as there's no swear words and it's positive. So there you go. So, all right, I have to ask you, you know, sometimes the mainstream media drives me crazy, and I'll try to explain this the best I can. To me, they all came off like complete idiots with the handling of this Dallas Cowboy coaching situation. You know, because all they're saying is, well, you know, why is Jerry Jones stringing it out, and oh my God, what's taking so long, and you know, blah, 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 this and that and all this other garbage. Now, I'm sure some of it has to do with the fact that, yes, Jason Garrett is a former player and he's coached the team for 10 years. But for some reason, what I don't understand why these morons can't figure out, the reason he's stringing it out is because the Cowboys aren't in the playoffs, but yet they're still the lead story every time someone talks about the NFL. Now, we got four playoff games this weekend, but the first story you ever hear about anything nationally is, well, what are the Cowboys doing with their coach? You know, it's clear to me that this is just a setup by Jerry Jones to keep the Cowboys in the media. Why am I the one who figures this out while these guys get paid big bucks not to know this? Can you explain that?
I can't explain that, and I, of course, we all know there's going to be a coaching change. It's a given. And why he's stringing it up, maybe it's a good point, though. It's a good point about the fact that he wants the publicity, but he's such an odd character anyway that it's hard to figure out what his true intentions are.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, the funny thing is, like, he doesn't even have to come out and fire Jason Garrett. His Garrett's contract expires in literally a couple weeks. I thought I heard somebody say January 14th. I don't know if that's the correct date, but it's around that time. So he doesn't even have to fire him. Just let the contract run out and say, hey, we decided we're not going to bring him back. You know, like today, it's funny because today the reports are that, well, you know, the reports coming out of Dallas are that they're going to move on. Now, there's absolutely nothing official. You know, Jerry Jones didn't come out and say that. Nobody's come out and say that. It's just what's being reported, which is pretty much the same thing they've been reporting since the regular season ended, except now apparently they had some kind of inside source tell them this. You know, again, it's just, you know, it's stupidity to me on their part. He's leaving them breadcrumbs so they can follow him and just continue to talk about the Cowboys when there's absolutely no reason to be talking about the Cowboys. I mean, we have how many other coaching openings, and you don't hear anybody mentioning a damn thing about who the Browns are going to hire or who the Giants are going to hire, or, you know, I think there might be one more. I think it's Carolina who has an opening because Washington hired Ron Rivera. You know, you don't hear a damn thing about that, but, oh, heaven's sakes, you know, the first thing we got to run out there is, oh, let's, you know, the Cowboys haven't done anything yet. Jason Garrett's still here.
Is the,
okay.
is the mystique
who,
about them being America's team still intact, you think? Is that why
you know,
so much publicity?
With the media, you know, like I don't buy it anymore, and I don't think a lot of fans do. You know, I mean, can you tell me when the last time the Cowboys won a Super Bowl?
It's been a while. It's been a while, and yeah, they're really no longer America's team. And for some reason, though, the fans still seem to pay a lot of attention to them, especially when something like this happens.
So,
and
I would be shocked.
I'd be shocked if he would come back. And you know, he's not coming back. He's gone.
No. So, you know, like the humorous thing with all of this is, you know, like they're talking about who he's going to fire or who he's going to hire and all this other stuff. And just, you know, it was 1995 the last time the Cowboys actually won a Super Bowl. So there you go with that. But, you know, the difficult part with this is you've got to remember, you know, like I saw all these big high-profile names they're throwing out there that, you know, Jerry's going to hire and he's going to go get the best guy he can so they can win. You know, he's done this twice before with Jimmy Johnson and Bill Parcells, and while it has turned into Super Bowl victories, these aren't the kind of coaches he's looking for, because in reality, if he could, he would name himself the head coach and just do what, you know, Al Davis used to do with the Raiders back in the AFL days, be the coach, the general manager, and the owner. So, you know, he's looking for a puppet. Is what he's looking for. He's not looking for a high-profile, you know, Lincoln Riley, Urban Meyer, Josh McDaniels type of coach, because they're not going to put up with that BS from him.
The names being bandied about, have they all been pro NFL coaches, or have there some of the top college coaches been considered also?
No, you know, the college names always pop up. You know, Urban Meyer's been a big name because he, you know, again, he resigned from Ohio State. I think it was last year. I think he cited health reasons again, the same reason he left Florida. So, you know, his name has popped up. Of course, both times he left the program, they were in trouble for something. He just happened to get health issues at those pertinent times. You know, it's just kind of coincidental how that happens. You know, kind of like I feel sick every morning when my alarm clock goes off because I don't want to go to work.
Yeah,
his name has come up. You know, Lincoln Riley is the hot name at Oklahoma because of the way his offense runs. Matt Rhule from Baylor is a big name because he has connections to the Giants, and it really looks like he's the front runner for that job. I'll actually be kind of surprised if he doesn't get that. But other than that, yeah, it's the – you know, Josh McDaniels is the Patriots offensive coordinator. He's on everybody's list. You know, Mike McCarthy's been really popular, the former Packer coach. And you know how the NFL goes. They have a tendency to recycle guys. So we'll hear a lot of former coaching names or, you know, who's the hot offensive or defensive coordinator. You know how these funky things go.
I'm always dubious about a college coach coming over to the NFL and succeeding.
Well, you know, that's been the case lately. I mean, remember Chip Kelly was a hot name and he flopped. You know, even the great, I mean, Steve Spurrier was a great college football coach. You know, Nick Saban obviously still is. Neither of them had NFL success. So, you know, you've got to kind of wonder, you know, would Urban Meyer translate, you know, Lincoln Riley is the offensive genius like Chip Kelly used to be. Would that translate?
And I have my doubts about it translating over to the NFL. I don't know about you, but I would be very hesitant about bringing in a college coach, no matter how lofty his credentials are or how his how great his one-loss record is in college. Let's see him do it in the pro ranks. I don't think it'll happen.
So, yeah, and you know that's the difficult thing. You know, obviously a lot of times, you know, teams dip into the college ranks because, you know, that guy's looking for a shot. You can save a little money, you know, on a contract by dipping in and getting a college guy because, you know, like I said, a lot of these guys just want a chance to prove themselves. So, you know, they'll take less money for you to coach the team, you know, so that's always a plus. But, you know, it just hasn't, you know, I mean, you look now, I mean, the Cardinals hired Cliff Kingsbury out of college last year. You know, I would say they were improved from the year before, but, you know, he didn't, I don't think he blew anybody's socks off.
No, not at all.
So, you know, and I believe he was the only guy who got hired out of the college ranks for this year. You know, I know Jacksonville had Doug Marrone, who used to be a college coach, but he's had a little NFL experience now, so you can't really count him. That was Kingsbury. And again, like I said, I mean, the Cardinals did improve. They were a better team than last year, but they didn't sniff anything. And I mean, in their division, they don't look like they're anywhere close to a playoff team. So
no.
Well, you know,
they may have made a miscellaneous improvement from the previous year, but nothing in the way of playoffs in the near future for that team.
So, yeah, and, you know, I did find it kind of humorous this week. You know, there were some teams that, you know, have come out and, you know, they're talking about their quarterback situation. You know, when you start to kind of look, you know, you run them down, the Dolphins situation is up in the air. I'm not sure the Redskins know what they have in Dwayne Haskins. The Bengals obviously are going to take a quarterback with the first pick in the draft. The Colts came out today or yesterday, I think it said, and said they weren't sold on Jacoby Brissett. So who knows what they're doing. You know, Jacksonville is in a funky situation with a couple guys. It looks like Tampa Bay may move on from Jameis Winston. Phillip Rivers is a free agent, so who knows what the Chargers are doing. And I heard some people today talking about the Raiders should get rid of Derek Carr. Luckily, Stu, you and I right here in the Chicago area, we don't have this problem because Ryan Pace came out and wanted to make it very clear that Mitchell Trubisky is the undeniable starter for the Bears coming into 2020. You know, I knew you were a little nervous about that, so they, you know, they just calmed your nerves, and now you're all set and happy, right?
Well, I have to ask you something. You think that's a true statement, or is that a smokescreen?
Oh no, it's definitely a true statement. This is his guy. He traded up to get this guy. You know, he buffoonery got roped into whatever the 49ers were selling him, and he was dumb enough to trade up a pick and give away a bunch of draft picks for absolutely no reason. So yeah, he bought it hook, line, and sinker, and this is his guy, and he is gonna probably ride and die with him.
Well, of course, this is his last year coming up before the option kicks in, correct, for Trubisky?
Yeah, they'll have to decide if they're gonna pick up his fifth year option as a first round draft pick.
So what happens if he flops again?
He flops again. I would assume that we'd be looking for a new coach and a new GM again, along with another quarterback. But, you know, you never know.
Yeah, and I don't anticipate any more great things coming from Trubisky. I was optimistic when he first was signed, but a little bit dubious about it because of his lack of college playing experience and not that much. And unfortunately, the hype hasn't been there for his great quarterbacking skills. Now, he's a good kid. He's intelligent. He's a good athlete, but he does not look like a quarterback that's going to take you deep into the playoffs, if into the playoffs at all.
Yeah, you know, the difference from this year to last year was really noticeable. I know number-wise, he stayed pretty close to where he was. The big difference, of course, was he threw seven less touchdowns. I wonder. I still think the more I look at last year, you know, people got all excited and they kind of forgot that the Bears were playing a last place schedule.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
Then they go, you know, they go 12-4, and now you're playing a first place schedule. So it's a bit of a different world when you run into that kind of competition. So they go from 12-4 to 8-8.
And what about
you
the offensive line,
though?
You think the offensive line has something to do with it, his regression?
In reality, that's one of those things you can kind of say it about every team. I mean, every team is going to have injuries. Every team is going to have these issues. It's just how do they work around it compared to, you know, how the other teams do. I mean, obviously it hurt not having Kyle Long I don't even know how many games he ended up playing this year. So, you know, that's obviously a big loss, but, you know, again, that's, you know, these other teams seem to get around it. There's playoff teams. I mean, Philadelphia's playing wide receivers that they signed off the street, and Seattle just had to sign two running backs last week that hadn't played all year for anybody because they were so injured, and both those teams are in the playoffs.
That's right, and Seattle always seems to do a respectable job, no matter what kind of injuries they have. They always seem to have a playoff-type team year after year.
So, yeah, it just kind of ends up being, what kind of job is Ryan Pace actually doing that we don't have any depth whatsoever to kind of, fill these holes when they happen? Because let's face it, we know they're going to happen. You know, it's just a matter of, when is a guy going to get hurt and how serious is it going to be? I mean, this is the NFL, for God's sakes. These kind of things go down all the time.
Well,
inevitable. Yeah, for whatever reason, the Bears always seem more unprepared than other teams. And I don't know if that's because they're local and we see them all the time, or, if there's something else to it.
Well, I could mention several teams that always seem to have injuries and always seem to be competitive. And New England's had their share of injuries over the years, and they're a perennial playoff contender team. So what can you say about that? You have to blame the ownership. I think the ownership is the number one issue with the Bears. They just haven't had the skill level to hire people who are quality enough to get the team competitive on a year-to-year basis.
Yeah, well, you can even look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. They finished 8-8 just like the Bears, but they played three quarterbacks. They lost their starting running back and their number one wide receiver to injuries. And they hung around in the playoff race all the way until the last week of the season. You know, if they could have gotten a win and Tennessee would have lost, Pittsburgh would be playing in the wild card game and not Tennessee. All right, and now you're talking about a team that started Mason Rudolph at quarterback for 8 games and Devlin Hodges at quarterback for 6 games. Their number one running back missed 6 games with an injury. And let me see, their number one wide receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster, missed 4.
Yeah, and they were still competitive. They were competitive right to the end.
Right, and their record was as good as the Bears, and they were in the playoff race.
It's sad when you think about the Bears'
history.
That what have they been in the playoffs six times out of the last 20 years?
Oof. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I mean, I know it's been a bit of a downward spiral. spiral. So yeah, it's you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. See if I can find it here on, you know, how or if they've, you know, they've made some playoff appearances, but I don't know. Let's see. Well, obviously they made it last year at 12-4, but before that it was 2010 was the last year they went in. Back to back, they made it in 05 and 06. 06 was when they went to the Super Bowl and lost. So yeah, it's been four playoff appearances since 2005. So 14 years.
Yeah, that's not very impressive. And this is a team that used to be a perennial contender year after year after year. They didn't always win it, but they were always a contender, a winning team, an exciting team, and something seemed to happen over the years, and I can only fault the current ownership as the prime suspect.
So yeah, you just wonder. I mean, you were like, oh, okay, you know, it looked obviously in his first year, he goes 12-4. It looked like they had a good hire in Matt Nagy. I've never been thrilled with the fact that, you know, he's a little too interested in trickery than he is kind of playing football. And I still don't understand the getting rid of Jordan Howard move. But, you know, they use the old, well, he doesn't fit the system line. So you get rid of Jordan Howard to draft David Montgomery, who basically played identically the same as Jordan Howard did.
Yeah, he had his moments. He had a few decent moments, and he had a good game his last game of the season, running over 100 yards, but certainly didn't do as well as expected.
That last game of the season was against the Vikings' second stringers. They didn't play any starters.
That is also true, and they barely squeaked out a win against a second string team. They only won by a safety.
You know, and I know when you look at it, I mean, obviously Allen Robinson had a fantastic year, you know, 98 catches, over 1,000 yards receiving. But, you know, everybody else after that is on offense is kind of disappointing. I mean, I kept waiting and waiting for Tariq Cohen to bust out and be the weapon he was supposed to be. Didn't happen. You know, Anthony Miller has had flashes where it looks like he's going to get some potential, and it never happens. Trey Burton is slowly but surely turning into one of the worst free agent signings the Bears have ever made. So yeah, it's just like, oh, okay, great. What do we do now, and where do we go from here? And I really just kind of hope to God they draft some quality linemen and they try to build from the interior, but I've got a feeling, you know, good old Nagy and Pace are going to want a flash guy, and they're going to, you know, because they don't have a first-round pick again. Remember, they traded that for Khalil Mack.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
You know, and, you know, even though, you know, and the defense was still good, but what people forget is there was really almost no way it was going to repeat what it did the year before. I mean, that was just asking for a miracle. So,
well, that wasn't going to happen.
Mack was solid. You know, he had 8.5 sacks, but God, Leonard Floyd sucks. I'm sorry. That's another bust at number one for a draft pick.
Yeah, they may have done okay in terms of allowing points per game, but I was kind of disappointed in their pass defense. They let a lot of big plays go through this year.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that goes. They just made Eddie Jackson the highest-paid safety in the game today. So, you better hope they're right there. But, yeah, you know, I just keep thinking how many draft picks has Ryan Pace missed on since he's been here? You know, I mean, have any – you know, Trubisky was a number one – you know, he's had one good year since he's been here. You know, remember the very first draft pick he made was Kevin White at number six, and I had a fit about it. I was just off the rails about what was this guy doing, and nobody would listen to me. You know, this was it. Kevin White was going to be the, you know, the SHIT, and he was going to roll it up. And, you know, all you had to do was look it up, and you could see that he wasn't a route runner. He couldn't run a route tree. But no, nobody wanted to listen to me. I didn't know what the hell I was talking about because I don't do those kind of things.
Well, that turned out to be a horrible choice, yeah. That's for sure.
Where's he now? He's actually out of work. So, you know, and I mean, you just kind of, you know, you kind of keep searching it. And I mean, Roquan Smith actually looks like he's going to be a decent player. So, you know, you give him that, but then there's Leonard Floyd was number one in 2016. You know, and I believe Kevin White was the first year Pace was here. That was 2015. So, you know, we're not getting guys through the draft like other teams are. You know, and eventually, I mean, you've got to hit on these guys in the later rounds to build your team. And there's really, you know, there's not much here. I mean, if you go over the draft, okay, you know, David Montgomery was a good pick. I'll give him that. But, you know, they only had five picks last year. The rest of the draft ended up being, you know, Riley Ridley, who had six catches all season. Duke Shelley, who I don't know, remember him playing. Kareth White, who I believe they cut, was another running back they brought in, and Steven Denmark. How's that for a memorable draft? Did you even know they picked those last three guys?
No, those are some big names for sure they selected.
Yeah. So, you know, you start to look, and it's just like, you know, while these other teams are finding guys and getting contributions, the Bears are wading along basically in their own feces trying to figure out what they're doing. So they really need to get in and work on talent evaluation and, you know, just kind of try to figure out, you know, where they're going to get these guys. 'Cause however they're evaluating talent, it's not working.
No. And they will have a slightly easier schedule next season, correct?
Yeah, they'll play a third-place schedule next year. So
if they win nine games, will that be enough for a playoff?
Only if they can win those games in the division, because they're going to have to beat Minnesota and Green Bay, because they're both still going to be better teams.
Yeah, I'm afraid the Bears are going to be caught in that rut. They're not a 3-13 team, but they're a 7-9, 8-8 team. Maybe a good year, 9-7. Is this what we're going to have to deal with and look forward to over the next 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, again, you know, like we mentioned, they don't have a first-round pick this year. So they're probably not going to get an impact player. So how are they going to improve?
Yeah, through trades. Now, are they going to be active in the trade market? And do they have anything to offer?
Never. Right. That's the other thing. I mean, what do you actually have to trade besides draft pick, which everybody will want? So, you know, I'm just afraid that, you know, we're looking at 8-8. Maybe if they're lucky, 9-7 next year. So, you know, I mean, if Matthew Stafford stays healthy, they could probably end up losing a game to Detroit. So that would probably hurt them. When you look at these other teams, I mean, I just don't see a lot of positives. So.
Would you be surprised if the Bears went out and acquired a veteran quarterback to maybe kind of challenge Trubisky a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I fully expect that it's going to be Trubisky and Chase Daniels in camp next year. You know, maybe they'll bring in, you know, a third guy somewhere down the line, I'm sure, to, you know, a third and a fourth guy to take the preseason snaps. And, you know, that may be my biggest thing of interest. I'm really hoping that Nagy learned something and Trubisky actually plays a little bit next preseason, so he's just not wandering out there dead cold and, you know, trying to be something.
Let him have a few. They'll do more in the preseason with the regulars next season, because this one turned out to be a bad move. It didn't work out for them. So I fully expect at least to see him playing, especially in the third game, a full amount of time to see what he's capable of doing.
Yeah, I hope so. That was just an incredibly stupid move, you know, just on their part, but not letting those guys play. So,
well, they obviously weren't football ready for the first game of the season. That's for sure. They only scored a field goal, and all of the defense played pretty well, but their offense, well, kind of set the tone for the rest of the year, though, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, at least they got the letdown started early, I guess, so you wouldn't have to, you wouldn't have to worry about anything. But, yeah, it was just kind of ridiculous. So we'll see. But, yeah, I'm not expecting anything huge or spectacular this off season out of the team. You know, they'll fit in with the rest of the Chicago teams. So,
yeah, Chicago teams certainly seem to be in the doldrums right now. And when you start talking about the White Sox and being excited there, then you know that there's not much to look forward to in Chicago sports.
Yeah, on the plus side, I think the White Sox just indicated that Luis Robert will be in the starting lineup opening day because he signed a contract, so they don't have to deal with the arbitration BS.
Right, right.
His
contract is very similar to what what they signed Jimenez for prior to his playing. And that was it. And it looks like this guy's a great prospect. And of course, we've been surprised before. Great prospects don't always make it, but this guy does look like the real deal, and if he does come through as the hype has indicated that he will, they might be a very interesting team next year, and they might give the Twins a run for their money.
Yeah, you know, they have that really nice advantage of just being in what looks like a terrible division. We'll have to see. I don't even really know what Cleveland is at this point, so...
Well, they're obviously not going to be as strong as they have been in years past, which is why I think they're going to wind up in third place.
Yeah, but the sad part is, you can still, in that division, you can compete even if you're not a strong team. So
that's true. Minnesota usually seems to have every other year they have a good year. But I think that they're looking for some moves that would solidify their role as a favorite for 2020.
Well, they
in
did
the
make
AL Central.
They did make a couple signings this week. You know, they were interestingly, like the White Sox, they were in on all the big time free agent pitchers. They just exactly like the White Sox, they just couldn't land any of them. But what they did do this week is they signed a couple veteran guys. They went out and they got Rich Hill and Homer Bailey on 1 year deals. Hill, I'm never super excited about because I just don't know how many starts you're actually going to get out of him. But Bailey at one point in time, before he suffered some injuries, was, on track to be a top of the rotation guy. And he had a solid year last year. The ERA was a little high, but again, I attribute some of that to the juiced ball. So, maybe they could land something there. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, is Hill healthy? Is he going to be healthy for next season?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's supposed to be healthy and ready to go in spring training. He did just get arrested at a football game,
yeah,
but it was
that.
Nothing. Yeah, it was nothing serious. They made it seem like he was apparently trying to help his wife out. I guess she
right.
ran into some trouble, and he got trying to help her out. So, but yeah, we'll kind of see what they. You know, what they get there. But, I mean, we're looking at a guy, I mean, 13 starts last year. You know, and the sad part is when he starts, he's good. He was 4-1 with a 2.45 ERA.
Yeah,
so,
and don't forget the guy. What bothers me is his age, I think. Isn't he around 38?
Oh, he's older than that. He is
even older than that.
He's 39. He'll be 40 in March. But, you know, I mean – he, you know, he's been doing okay. You know, it's just he doesn't, you know, I don't see him as a 30-start guy.
No, well, he's not a fastball pitcher, obviously. He doesn't rely on velocity to win games, more on guile and you know, off-speed pitching. And he always used to drive the Cubs crazy. I could never figure out how he succeeded against them. But he's been around quite a while.
Yeah, and, you know, they signed a pretty smart contract with him. He's only guaranteed $3 million. They put everything in incentives for him. He actually has $9.5 million in incentives in his contract. So if he's going to get paid, he's going to have to earn it. So I thought that was pretty smart on their part. You know, Bailey, you know, and they got Bailey for $7 million, which in today's game isn't horrible money. So, you know, they're rounding out their rotation. You know, they got Jake Odorizzi back. You know, he took the qualifying offer, and then Michael Pineda is healthy. So, you know, it could be a solid rotation. It's just kind of, you got to kind of wait and see what you get now.
Yeah, well, they gotta be a solid choice to win the division for this coming season.
So, yeah, and obviously there's still some time to see what else they might do, you know, if they're going to come up with, you know, because allegedly they're in on Josh Donaldson as well. You know, who knows if and when or how he's going to finally sign, but we'll see.
Once Donaldson signs, you think the market will – start to open up for a possible trade for Chris Bryan?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess it depends if you want Chris Bryan or Nolan Arenado, because all the Arenado rumors are out there. You know, honestly, if you could get Arenado, that would be a better deal because he's under contract. You know, if you get Bryant, there's a chance you're only going to have him for a year.
That's true.
So
that's true.
You know, they may out you know, because, I mean, that would just be smart. I mean, I think Arenado has 7 years on a contract where, you know, you could have Bryan for 2 years depending on if he wins that grievance or not. So, you know, but if he wins it, you're only going to have him 1 year and then he's going into free agency. If he loses it, you've only got him for 2 years.
Has a player
you know,
ever won one of those grievances, right? Have they ever won one of those grievances? I don't think so.
I've had this one because it's a service time grievance. With the, you know, the way he was treated when he was a rookie.
Right, right. But they took advantage of a clause that was legal. I mean, that they took advantage of what was offered, and they made that decision to keep him an extra year by holding him back for those first 2 weeks of spring training. And I don't see that grievance being rescinded.
Yeah, no, they didn't do anything wrong. You know, I mean, the Cubs didn't do anything wrong. They just, you know, they just kind of followed the rules. And, I can completely understand why he pissed off. But, like I said, the Cubs didn't do anything wrong.
No. Now, when the new agreement comes up, is that going to be addressed? Do you think that's not going to happen anymore?
Yeah, that's going to be the first thing the players are going to want out. I guarantee that they're, you know, or the union will, you know, they're definitely going to get rid of that. So.
Yeah, and you can't blame them. You can't blame them for wanting to get rid of that rule.
You know, yeah, I would be interested to know how they kind of got roped into it, or if somebody just overlooked it. But yeah, that was ridiculous. You know, that I don't know who agreed to that, but whoever it was should lose their job because that was completely ridiculous.
Now, doesn't the current agreement lapse in a couple of years?
Yeah, it's coming up here soon. I don't know the official date. But it's going to expire soon. So.
Well, I think it would be in baseball's best interest not to have any kind of a strike because I'm not sure if the fans will come back this time.
Yeah, I think it would be really incredibly stupid for any of the leagues to go on strike. You know, I believe it was the NFL who's been telling their players to save their money. Because they're the union, the NFL Players Union, because they're planning on walking out, you know, and even though they're king, you know, their TV ratings were up pretty good this year. I think I saw 5 or 6%, you know, so they're still number one when it comes to sports. I just don't know if you want to take that chance and do that to your fans.
No, and you don't want the scabs coming in like they did a few years ago, and that was a fiasco, but they did it, and the fans came back.
Yeah, you know, and that's, you know, that's one of those things also where the union has to be smart enough to realize that. You know, I get that this is all driven by greed and money and everybody wants the biggest piece of the pie, but you've got to realize that you get that pie is made by the people who are buying your tickets. You know, and
right,
if you piss them off, you know.
And you can't blame the fans if there's another strike this time because they look at the players' salaries and they say, how could these guys possibly have enough nerve to even consider striking with what they're getting paid?
Yeah, that, you know, that's always the toughest part when, you know, you have millionaires fighting with billionaires. You're kind of like, yeah, okay, why do I care about this? You know, there's absolutely no for me to care.
Yeah, you know, so the players will come up with the excuse about, well, we have a short playing time. We're only going to be the average player is maybe 4, 5, 6 years in the majors. But in those 6 years, they make enough to last a lifetime plus.
Yeah, you should. So, you know, I mean, even if you make the league minimum for 6 years, you should be smart enough to put your money in the right places, you know, go get a good financial advisor. So.
Yeah, as long as you don't have an entourage of support and buy 20
right.
or 30 luxury cars, you should be in pretty good shape financially.
Yeah. Or houses, you know, just be smart.
Yeah.
So, you know, but there was a reported huge signing today, and I'm surprised that you missed this one. The Washington Nationals made a signing today. It looks like it's 2 years, $12 million each year. Starlin Castro is going to be a National.
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah, so there you go. He's going to join the World Series champions and bring his hardware there.
Well, he's going to be their second baseman. Is that their plan?
You know, it's a little undecided right now because they have a top infield prospect, a kid by the name of Carter Kieboom. So a lot's going to depend on if he's ready to go or not. But remember, they lost Anthony Rendon, so they don't have a third baseman
Correct.
Currently. You know, Castro spent some time at third, so it's possible he may, you know, maybe he'll start the year off at second until this Kieboom comes up, and you know, then maybe he'll move over to third or play more of a utility type role at this point. So,
is his arm accurate enough to be a third baseman?
You know, he did it last year for 50 some odd games, and he was okay. So, you know, it seems like it.
Yeah, well, he's had a very productive career for sure, and maybe this time he'll at least land with a contender. Because he wasn't with the contenders the last few years, that's for sure.
So, yeah, and, you know, the Astros actually did make a what would be considered a more significant signing. I've always liked Starlin Castro, so that's why I made sure to bring that up. But they did go out and sign reliever Will Harris, now a former Astro. Had a really good year for Houston last year, 68 games covering 60 innings, 4-1 with four saves and a 150 ERA. The Nationals' big weakness last year was that bullpen. Daniel Hudson really saved them in the playoffs, but now he's a free agent and he wants big money, so they haven't been able to re-sign him. So Harris will be a nice bullpen arm for them as long as he can continue to produce. And he has pretty much through his career, so you would think there's no reason. He is 35 now, so you always got to kind of wonder when the drop-off is going to happen. But it looks like a pretty good signing for them.
You know, with the in that division, that's going to be a very competitive division except for one team. And that'll really be a tightly contested division because I wouldn't discount the New York Mets for sure in Philadelphia and Atlanta and Washington. It'll be quite a battle.
Yeah, it's probably the best division in baseball overall. You know, when you look at it, I mean, with four teams that can compete at a high level, you know, that's something that not any, the other divisions don't have. I mean, you can say that four teams can compete in the NL Central, but I think the East teams are better.
I would think so, yes. Without question.
So, we'll have to see how that works out. And then, I know there was another signing. Your guy Joe Maddon found his catcher. The Angels inked Jason Castro to a one-year deal, just under $7 million. It was pretty much something they had to do. I don't know even who the other catcher was on the roster. I believe it was might have been a rookie or a guy with very little playing experience. And that was a lot of talk that they were going to make the trade for Wilson Contreras.
They would have liked that, I'm sure.
Yeah, instead they signed Castro just for 1 year. They do have veteran Max Stassi who can be a backup. But let me see if I can find this other kid's name. Here he is. Anthony, I'm going to guess this is Ben Boom, would have been the guy they probably would have been starting had they not signed Castro. So,
what were Castro's stats last year?
Let me see if I can find them really quick. I know I did hear somebody who was really high on the Angels today. Here you go. He was injured and was splitting time with Minnesota, so he only played in 79 games. He did hit 13 homers, but he hit .232, which is actually above his career average of .231. So.
Well, those are underwhelming numbers, especially. Well, of course, he was hurt last year, especially with the ball being juiced. But I guess if he played a full slate, he would have hit 20 home runs anyway. But didn't everybody?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he probably would have got a career high in home runs. His career high is 18, but he probably would have surpassed that had he not been injured and missed time. And he's a good defensive catcher, so that'll work out. But I heard a guy today predicting the Angels at 87 wins, and I just don't see it.
Nor I. I can't
but
see
yeah,
them in
he
87
was,
games.
Yeah, he's convinced. I guess the plan this year is Shohei Ohtani is going to be the starting pitcher every Sunday. And this guy was just talking about how he's going to go out there and dominate for the 20 or 21 starts that he makes, and I'm like, are we sure about this?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, and can that team actually compete with Houston, Texas, and Oakland? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I wasn't buying it, but this, you know, this guy was really all in, and I guess nobody bothered to point out to him that at this point in time their closer is Hansel Robles. And you know, he probably couldn't have named anybody else in the bullpen. I give him credit. They did upgrade the starting rotation by adding Julio Teheran and Dylan Bundy, but those aren't huge upgrades. It's just better than what they had last year.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. I don't see him anything better than a fourth place club in that division.
Yeah, I figured, you know, maybe they'll improve and that improvement will be 500, you know, and they'll be 81 and 81, but I don't see them, you know, being any kind of contender or, you know, anything like that. But yeah, this guy was one guy had him for 87 wins, and then one of the guys had him for 84, and then the third guy, it was the Hot Stove show on MLB. The third guy made sense. He actually had him at 81, where I have them.
That makes
so
sense.
Yeah,
to me, too.
I was quite baffled.
Yeah, that's crazy. I will predict one thing, though. I think they'll wind up ahead of Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely there. So
yeah.
They definitely will end up ahead of Seattle. No doubt about that. So they're, you know, the poor Mariners, they're still scuffling there with their rebuild.
They really are.
So
they really are.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, even if they get to 81 wins, that's a 9-win improvement from last year, which I think is a pretty big jump. You know, I think they, depending on if Texas can get anybody to sign there, I don't know why nobody seems to want to go with go play with the Rangers. They might be able to move past them in the standings, just because, like I said, they're, for some reason they're having trouble. Nobody wants to take their money for whatever reason.
Yeah. They might be a little more competitive than you would think this season. I think the Rangers might surprise a few people. And
yeah, well, you know, they did a nice job.
More players.
Yeah, they did a nice job with the starting rotation. I like the Corey Kluber ad, and they signed Kyle Gibson and Jordan Lyles. So, you know, they're going to have a really nice veteran rotation. You know, they're in the new ballpark, so it's possible they'll keep them in some games. I just don't see them as a contender either, and they could end up right around the 81 mark as well.
And they may even win more than that. I could see them winning 85, 86 games if things go well. And,
yes.
And don't forget, there's still some time to sign some more players before the season starts, a lot more time.
Yeah, that'll be the big thing.
You know, I mean, if they end up with Donaldson, I know they were kind of interested there. You know, that could help change things, but, you know, we'll see. But, all right, I don't want to forget this. You know, we've been gone a while, but I don't want to forget. You know I made you make three picks last time, and you hit on all three. So, obviously, it's wild card weekend, so I'm going to make you pick the wild card games. The first game tomorrow is at 3:35, and it's the Buffalo Bills at the Houston Texans. Who's winning that game?
That's a tough one. That is really a tough one. Now, I'm going to take a flyer and go with Houston only because it's the game, I believe, is in Houston, correct?
Yes, it is. All right.
And
then the night game tomorrow. Yes, the night game they're playing, this is a 7:15 start. This has the Tennessee Titans at the New England Patriots. Who you got there?
Well, obviously I'm going to have to go with New England in that one.
All right. Then we move into Sunday. The afternoon game, a more regular time, 12:05, has the Minnesota Vikings at the New Orleans Saints. Who's your choice there?
Well, no upset in this one. I'm going to have to go with the Saints.
All right. And then the wild card weekend wraps up with, even though they have the better record, Seattle's 11-5, but technically they're a wild card team. They are visiting the 9-7 Eagles, who won the NFC East. So who wins that game?
Well, I know you would let me to pick Philadelphia, but I'm going to have to go with Seattle to win this one.
Yeah, sadly, my hopes are really pinned to Philadelphia in my money league. And I had a money league draft on January 1st, and I had the 12th pick. There were 8 quarterbacks gone in the first 11 picks, so I waited and didn't take one till there was actually just one left. So I have Carson Wentz. So we shall see if that works out for me.
Of those 4 games, I'll tell you the one game that is kind of very questionable and could produce a winner, a surprise. I'm not even sure if it could be considered a surprise, would be the Buffalo-Houston game.
Yeah, oddly, that's the game I'm the most interested in. I really think that's going to be the best game this weekend.
Yeah, I would think so.
So, and I know everybody's down on New England, oh God, they're terrible. They've been struggling. I get it. They're not as good as they have been, but it's still New England and they're still coached by Belichick. So
it's true. And they always seem to taper off a little bit towards the end of the season. Have you noticed that they start out with a very, very 7-1, 8-1, 8-2 record, and they seem to taper off in the last few games. And I can't quite understand
yeah.
why.
So, yeah, and I mean, a lot of times you wonder, if they're just trying to work stuff out. So
yeah, it could very well be. And I'm wondering, by the way, if this is it for Brady. I wonder if he's going to retire after this season.
So, you have to wonder. Like, I heard somebody actually say that they think he may go play somewhere else. I don't see that happening, but
it would be
interesting.
Why would a team even pick him up? What is he, 42, 43? It doesn't make sense.
I guess it depends what system you're running, because a lot of people were saying that they think Miami could be a landing spot because they have the former New England defensive coordinator, and then of course there's talk that wherever Josh McDaniels goes, if he decides to take a head coaching job, Brady could end up there. So,
well, I would be completely shocked if that were to happen. If you told me that 5 years ago, I would say maybe so. The guy's 37, 38. Yeah, that might be a logical possibility, but not now.
Yeah, I do wonder if, I honestly think I could see them, if they win the Super Bowl, I could see them kind of riding off into the sunset. But if not, I wouldn't be surprised if he re-signed with New England for one more year to kind of try to go out, like Peyton Manning did, and be able to go out on top like that. That wouldn't surprise me. But I don't think I could see him playing anywhere else.
No. And if New England were to win the Super Bowl, I think he would hang it up then for sure.
Yeah, I think so as well. So. We'll see. But, well, they got to get through tomorrow to do that. So. Oh, all right. Listen to whatever you want.